I use Zencaster for recording, and it's just because I love Zencaster. It makes my life easy. So I used Zoom for a while. And then the reason why I started using Zencaster is I saw someone else using it, and they were talking about the different benefits. And I was like, well, might as well try it. They really love it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. And today we are joined with the host of the shit show of my 20s, Sophia Lorena. Sophia, how are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here with you.
Well, it's good to have you. And you've done over 200 episodes. When did you start this?
I started this April 2020, mid-pandemic.
April of 2020. So it's been more than 3.5 years now. And how is it coming? Like, what are you learning? What was the goal and are you achieving it? How about that? What's the goal and are you achieving that?
Yeah, my goal really was to get conversations and be able to get access to people I didn't normally have access to because I don't have a personal brand. I don't really have a big social media platform. So I figured build a podcast and they will come. And that's been the strategy that I've been using. And it's been great to get talk to a bunch of people. I think I have achieved a lot of that goal of getting to get those new conversations with people I wouldn't get access to without the podcast. And it's been great. I would say since the beginning, I have changed a lot about the way that I do things in this past year. So for this past year, I've thought more about what does it make sense for me to do and what does it not make sense for me to do. For example, I was editing for a long time and it does not make sense for me to edit because it's something that I'm not fond of. It takes a bunch of energy and I don't feel like it's the most productive use of my time. And I'm like, okay, if I can figure out how to do more of the things I do like in the podcast versus having something that's maybe not the best use of my time, that's going to help me in the long run be able to do this podcast for longer. And that's something I wish I would have started thinking about in the beginning is how can I set myself up to be able to do this for the long run versus getting burnt out of the little things that I should maybe not be doing.
Yeah, I like the thought of how can I do this in the long run. Was there anything else that you changed?
I would say I try to reach out to more people that I feel like are out of my league. And what I mean by that is like people who have good social media following, people who maybe are a little bit harder to get on the podcast. I feel like always pitching those people, that's someone I wish I would have pitched more towards the beginning. At the beginning, I went towards people that were easy. And the easy yes was kind of my theory. Let's go for the easy yes. But what I realized is when you go for those people who are maybe harder to get, some of them actually aren't as hard to get as you think. But in your head, you built up the story. And then that kind of keeps you from being able to get to those guests versus trying and see what happens. And even if they don't say yes today, maybe they'll say yes 2 years from now. But might as well go and send that email and see.
I like that. When I was younger, none of my friends would ask out a girl. They were like, oh, I'm scared. And I would just like, it's so easy. And then I'd go ask. And she wouldn't always say yes, but often they would. And this morning, I'm like, I do ice baths. Sophia, have you ever done an ice bath?
No, but I've been thinking about it.
Oh, okay. Don't wait anymore. Okay. It's like reaching out to the bigger guests. Go today, buy a bag of ice. Fill up your tub with cold water, add the ice, and just jump in. This morning, my house was a little chilly. It was like 66 degrees Fahrenheit, and I just was scared. I was like not feeling it, but I do ice baths all the time. And it's the same thing. It's just like, I was like procrastinating, and I finally had to say, all right, not only are you getting in, but you're going longer than you thought because you waited. And I said, and if you wait any longer, we have to go even longer. And I said, Alexa, set a timer for, I told her the amount of minutes. It was originally 7. Well, I wanted to do 4, but because I waited, I had to do 7. So I did 7. And I just jump in and it felt extra cold today. Felt extra, extra, extra cold. So I'm sitting there and I haven't laid back yet. And I just had to tell myself, you're fine. You're not in danger. And you do this all the time. And I laid back. And the next thing I know is I added minutes until I did a 12-minute ice bath instead of 7. and I loved it. I got out and I feel incredible. And it's like, it changes your life. And you're doing this with reaching out to bigger guests. Like in the beginning, you were the person who's never done an ice bath. And now you're the person who can just jump into the ice bath like it's nothing. You're reaching out to these big guests. And sometimes they might say no, but you realize that most of the time, they're probably going to be happy to jump on your podcast. So you stopped editing your own. You started reaching out to bigger guests and you thought, oh, I should have done this all along. Any other changes this year that you've implemented since the beginning 3.5 years?
Being willing to try new things. Like I've tried new like editing software to be able to pull like the best 1 minute clip that they think that uses AI. It pulls that 1 minute clip. It pulls 12 of those clips. And I was honestly before then going through and I would just know, okay, minute 5. And then I would keep that note. Huh. Or minute 6.
What software is it?
So I've used a couple.
Okay.
The one let's see. Let me pull them up. I've used vidyo.ai. That one's worked great for me.
Throw the link in the chat if you would. Yeah, and we'll make sure that we get it down into the show notes for vidyo.ai.
Yeah.
And anything else that you want to suggest, we'll make sure that our team puts it in.
Yeah, honestly, ChatGPT has been helping me a lot too. I'll say like I have.
How do you use that?
So I'll say I have a podcast about marketing and then I'll put in the bio so it gives it more context. And then I say, okay, come up with the best title for this podcast episode. And then it'll give me different titles with the podcast name, with the guest. And then from there, I'll say like, okay, create another one until I find one that I like.
Cool. So that helps you title episodes specifically. When you say, I have a podcast about marketing, you don't mean you have a show about marketing. You have an episode about marketing, right? It's just for the individual episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So do it for individual episodes. I say, okay, on this episode, we're talking about marketing. I'll do different keywords and then I'll do the bio with it. And I said, based on this, can you come up with a title for me for this podcast episode?
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else you want to share that you've changed? You started offloading the editing, reaching out to bigger guests, and trying new things like AI. Any others?
I also use AI for show notes too and timestamps. That helps a lot.
Okay, cool. Nice. Now, what in the beginning, like, did you feel? I'm just curious because I felt this way, and I know a lot of people that have. I don't know if you are that way. In the beginning, did you ever feel like, hey, no, I guess I'm saying it wrong. From the beginning, but now, do you listen to like your first few episodes and you cringe and you're like, oh, what was I even thinking or what was I doing? Yeah, you do?
I honestly can't listen to them because I would cringe.
Talk to us a little bit about that and like help us understand if we're a brand new podcaster, what should we be doing? Some people say record 10 episodes that you just throw away. You don't ever plan on publishing them. I don't necessarily say that, but what would you say is like the best way to get over that? Like that we are going to get better as we grow. It's like going to the gym, like lifting weights. You get stronger and you look better, but you don't look better overnight. You don't get stronger the very next day. It takes consistency. And sometimes we're afraid of the consistency in our podcast. We don't want to show up and not be great. So what would you say to somebody who's starting a podcast right now?
Yeah, it depends on the type of person you are. So for example, I'm an introvert. So I knew the easiest thing for me to do at the beginning was just go get a Calendly link together, getting people to schedule before I was like fully ready, getting people scheduled before I even knew what I was doing, and just going and showing up, doing research before on that person and starting the whole process before I had a chance to say no. So that's what worked with the best for me. And the reason why I think using guests is so helpful, especially at the beginning, is because you can rely on someone else for content versus feeling like you have to come up with all the content yourself. Like if you're extrovert, can talk about anything, maybe you want to do some solo episodes at the beginning because that's just easy for you. But for me personally, I found that was super easy. And then from there, you can always ask the guest, like, what do you think of this interview? Like, what questions do you wish I would have asked? What you feel like I maybe didn't touch on that I should have touched on in this episode. there's so many things you can ask from them to get more feedback and then use that for your next interview and your next interview and your next interview. So I think I did that well in the beginning of just really creating an environment where I couldn't get out of it and really just had to go for it. And then another thing I would say too is try not to overthink it at the beginning because you're going to iterate later on. So you don't have to think about, oh, this has to be perfect at the beginning. I have to have X, Y, and Z thing at the beginning or else it's not even worth starting. I would say just get whatever you can get out there. Try not to overthink it and just let yourself change it over time so that you could at least get that initial feedback and at least have the ball rolling down the hill versus like waiting to roll the ball down the hill and just letting time go on. And maybe you don't even start the podcast at that time. So I would say that. I would say try to get more strategic at the beginning in terms of like figuring out how you're going to use your time best within the podcast and what things you should be doing yourself, what things you should be outsourcing, how much time you actually have to put towards the podcast. Because you might have more, you might think you have more time than you actually do, but really you have less time with, you know, a full-time job, all the things going on in your life. I would say also batch recording has helped me a lot. I love batch recording. It makes life so much easier if you have like, you know, 5 episodes ready to go and just ready to release and have those episodes all edited at the same time. I would say do that as well. Also, Facebook groups and using different platforms has helped me a lot, like Podcast Guest Facebook group, podmatch.com, matchmaker.fm. These are all different sites that you can go and find podcast guests from.
Let's pause for a second. Say those three again. I'll make sure that the person editing the show is able to get all those links into the show notes for our resources section. So you said Facebook groups, Podmatch, matchmaker.fm?
Yes, Matchmaker.
Okay, cool. So why do the Facebook groups help you? Does it help you get guests? Does it help you be a guest? What is the goal there?
So there's a Facebook group. I believe it's called Be a Guest or Look for a Guest on Facebook, something similar to that. And there you can actually see a bunch of people pitching themselves, or you could see a bunch of shows that need guests and go and guest on those shows as well. So I found that super helpful. I also like to stalk Instagram hashtags. Like, for example, let's say if I want to do a podcast on money mindset and I would search money mindset and then I'd see like who are like the top accounts on Instagram and then go and reach out to those people.
Okay. I'm misunderstood. When you say stalk, is it the S-T-A-L-K like following them or is it stalk like S-T-O-C-K where you like hoard them, save them?
No, it's like you stalk, see all their content, see all their videos, okay. See if you even think they're a great speaker or not, if they have
stories. So you type in a hashtag that you think you want to have a guest on. Like, I want a guest who talks about, let's just say marketing, because you mentioned that earlier. So it's like hashtag marketing or whatever. And now you're looking at different profiles that use that hashtag, and then you just go and select one. Is that how it goes? Okay, cool. Nice. So create an environment, get the ball rolling. Have strategy, batch record, Facebook groups and other types of groups that you mentioned that will be in the show notes, and stalk Instagram hashtags. I have to say it that way or else I don't know what I'm saying. Cool. Like if you could go back and just tell yourself, wait, let me ask you this question first. How long did it take you to launch the podcast? You said it was April of 20.
Yeah.
How long had you been thinking or wanting to have a podcast?
Well, what happened is I actually got furloughed from my job. And this idea just popped in my head of like, now is kind of the time to start a podcast. And then from there, because I didn't really have anything to talk about prior to then. So I didn't really think about starting a podcast. But then I was like, I think I have more things to think about and talk about and more topics that are kind of top of mind. So I had the idea. And then literally that same day, I started researching, okay, where do I like host the podcast? How do I even create a podcast? How do I even edit a podcast? Like all these different questions. And I focused on one piece at a time. I tried not to like overwhelm myself with the whole thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to use Zoom. I'm going to make it super easy. I'm just going to record it on there. From there, once I have the recording, I'm going to learn how to edit it. And then once I have the editing, I'm going to learn where I put it. So I kind of just made it super simple for myself. And then I would also join these different podcasting Facebook groups to see what they were doing and what platforms they were using. So that helped as well. So I would say it was maybe a few days from when I got the idea to when I did my first interview?
A few days. You're an anomaly. 100%. You are unique. With what you mentioned, I'm hearing that you went ready, fire, aim. A lot of times, by the way, on this podcast, I say, go ready, aim, fire. I also heard you say that you needed to figure out the strategy ahead of time. So you did that. And that's kind of ready, aim, fire. But you still took massive action. You did it in 3 days. You got furloughed and you're like, maybe I should start a podcast. And you started researching and boom, you've got a podcast going. With all of that said, if you went back and said to your old self, now that you've done the research, Sophia, now that you've figured out like the best platforms, because you've looked at it, you've asked people at Facebook groups, like, what are a few things that you would say, hey, to make it easy on you, use this platform, do this. What would you say if someone was about to start a podcast, but they didn't really know what they were doing?
Yeah. So I use Zencastr for recording. And it's just because I love Zencastr. It makes my life easy. And
so at first you said you were going to use Zoom. When did you switch to Zencastr?
So I switched maybe 2 years in. So I used Zoom for a while. And then the reason why I started using Zencastr is I saw someone else using it and they were talking about the different benefits. And I was like, well, might as well try it. They really love it. And then what I loved about it is when I would pull the video footage for Reels, it seemed like the video quality was higher for those Reels versus Zoom. So that's why I kind of leaned into it. I was like, okay, great. The videos look better. Awesome. And then I also use Audacity for editing.
But let me interrupt you. You ended up offloading the editing, didn't you?
Yeah.
You said there was a better use of your time and it
It took me 3 years to like release, 3 years in a bit to release editing. So
what would you say to the listener though? Do you think it's better to edit your own or is it better to offload it?
At the beginning, I feel like you should at least know how to edit. And the reason why I say that is like, let's say the editor, you're going to go through trial and error with editors. You might have an editor that doesn't really edit up to your standard. Maybe you want all the ums removed like me and you get an edit back and maybe you have three. And then you're like, okay, what do I do with these three ums if you can't get the editor to go and remove them? So I feel like it's just good. So you know what to do in case that happens or in case the editor is not able to get it in time. Maybe you need to go edit one episode on your own. So I feel like it's helpful to know just in the back of your mind. I would say figure out if you can offload it, that'd be great. That's what I would suggest just because it takes so much time. And I feel like you can find editors that aren't too expensive on Fiverr that will make your life a lot easier. So I would do that. But I would definitely try to edit at least the first few just so I had a baseline idea of what I was doing.
Okay. And you lost your job 2020 pandemic. And then you started a podcast within 3 days. And did you ever get a job or do you make money through the podcast or what does that look like?
Yeah. So I actually got my job back 4 months later. So I was furloughed. It was kind of like this gray line scenario. If you're like, you might get your job back, you might not. But like, just give us like a few months to figure out if we could get your job back or not. And I really wanted it back. So I was like, okay, cool. Like I'll occupy myself with interviewing people. So I don't make the money off of this podcast. I do it because I enjoy doing it. And I enjoy the people that I get to access through it. The goal is, of course, one day to make money off of it. But I do have a full-time job that I do on top of this podcast.
Okay. What do you do?
So I work for a hard money lender.
Which one?
Backflip.
Okay. I have heard of them. I used to do a lot of real estate investing in Colorado. And so I think I thought I knew every hard money lending company. I even owned a hard money lending company here in Colorado. So just, I was curious. Hard money, by the way, for the listeners is money that's basically, it's like a mortgage on a house. And they'll use the house as collateral, but it's more of like a high interest, short-term loan. And sometimes they'll give you more money than the house is currently worth so that you have enough money to kind of work on the property. And then you'll either sell it fast or you'll refinance it with a longer-term loan. Okay, so that's what you do. And why did you call the podcast the shit show of my 20s? Like, out of curiosity, and because I think it's really... The way that I look at that title is, ooh, what's this? You know, like you kind of get that curiosity. But I'm also wondering, do you ever think to yourself, like, I really boxed myself in by calling it that. I wish I called it something else. What do you think about titling from here?
Yeah, well, my strategy with titling was I don't have a personal brand. I don't have a follower. At least like I can go and create something catchy so that people could be like, oh, what's that? So that's what I thought of at the beginning is like, okay, what's something catchy? What's something funny? What's something that's going to spark a laugh in someone? What's something that's going to maybe take them back to some memory in their 20s and make them think about that? So that's why I created that title. Is like, I thought it was catchy enough that people would go check it out, want to see what it is. And I don't feel like I really boxed myself in because I'm 23. So I'm still, you know, I've got 7 more years that I can use that title. Then I have to change it to something else. But I like that title because it makes people think of something and it stops people. And I feel like when you have a personal brand, you could do something like chat with so-and-so's name or something around their name. But I feel like when you're still building your Instagram presence, it kind of helps to have something that creates some sort of emotion in people to make them want to go and stop and actually look at your Instagram profile, actually go to Apple Podcasts, listen to your episode, and really able to pull them there.
So for 4 months, you had a podcast and no job. And then for 3-ish more years, 2.5, 3 more years, you had a job and a podcast, and the podcast was taking you extra time because you recorded the episodes and you edited it yourself. And then for the last 6 months or so, you are paying someone to edit it and not making money through the podcast yet. What keeps you going on the podcast when it costs you time and money?
I would say it's still going back to having the conversations that I'm not able to have without the podcast. Because the value of getting some of these people's time, it's way more than the money that I put into the podcast. Like for editing one episode, it's maybe like $15. For the value of this person's time, it could be $500, $1,000, thousands of dollars an hour. And what I get from doing that is more valuable than the money that I'm putting into it. So that's the way I see it. And I would say it's that and just kind of looking back at past episodes and thinking about what I learned from those specific episodes and how worth it was for me to go and do those interviews and take the time to go and meet those people.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it costs you money and time, but you still have it mainly because you're having great conversations. So I want to ask you, what like value do you get from these great conversations? Why do you want to network? What is the benefit to you right now?
Yeah. Well, it's like so many different areas, right? So like if I want to learn more about, for example, I recently had a therapist on the podcast who went viral on TikTok, does these great videos that are like 30 seconds, 40 seconds long about all these different things about relationships, green flags, red flags, when it's time to go to therapy, like all these great things. And I was thinking about the value of having someone like that on and learning about more about therapy, learning more about relationships, learning more about what we do wrong, what we kind of don't realize in our different relationships. And like seeing all those people and being able to do that is super valuable to me. And then I've had people who have done private money and raised a bunch of money from family members and then started raising money from Instagram followers and building a business out of that. So it's just like, I think of a topic and I'm like, okay, who's the best person to interview for that topic? And it's like kind of getting access to like a book or like some sort of thing and being able to harness those skills and learn from that person. So I kind of see it in that way of my own research for me.
Yeah, cool. And like, do you have a plan of having a business or do you want to stay working at that job? Is there some reason why these networking and conversations and this learning is going to be really beneficial to you?
Yeah, I think it's just beneficial to me in terms of life skills that I'm building. In terms of a business, I probably see myself doing flipping soon and continuing to work at the company I work for just because being in hard money, you want to get into flipping. It's just a natural progression. Like you see all these flippers, you just like, I want to flip a house in Colorado and you get into that sort of thing. But that's the business I would see myself doing on top of the podcast and on top of working full time.
Okay, so stay working full time, do some flips on the side and have the podcast and kind of grow your network. That's cool. And shit show of my 20s, Yeah, and by the way, when you move into 30 years old, you could just change it to shit show of my 20s and then in parentheses and my 30s. But I want to try to figure out, so who do you think your avatar is? Who do you think is the person listening?
Who I created it for is a 20-something, probably in college, has no idea what she's doing, is trying to figure out her life, probably experiencing some sort of shit show moment in her life right now. That's like, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do with this? I don't even know what to do next. That's what I picture is like this 20-something, maybe in college, maybe just started working, trying to figure out how to do life, trying to figure out how to be an adult. That's who I'm thinking of.
And the content, is it, be honest, is the content or the interviews that you have more for you or is it more for her?
That's a good question. I would say a mixture of both, because there are some topics that are just things that I really like that she might not necessarily be into yet. She might be into it in her 30s or later 20s when she thinks about like starting to invest in real estate or starting to do different financial things. She might not be there yet, but those conversations I had more for me. But I would say more of the conversations for her are probably like the more relationship focused, more broader topics versus like the more business, like financing topics.
And do you think about that when you think about new content?
Part of the time I think about what I just find interesting, but I feel like I'm a little different from my avatar because I feel like even though I'm 23, I feel like I'm 27. So maybe a little different from her.
And even though I'm in my 40s, I feel like I'm 19. So there we go. We have that in common. E-commerce, 8-figure brand. Tell me about that episode.
That was a great episode. So I interviewed Audrey. So she is the founder of Wholesome Culture. And what she did is she created this vegan apparel brand. And she went and she was looking at what's like these trendy shirts and how do I incorporate veganism into it? How do I make something punny, cute, that people are going to want to wear, that's trendy? And she created Wholesome Culture. At the beginning, she actually wanted a nutrition brand, but it cost too much for her to go and create that nutrition supplement brand. So that's why she started with drop shipping and t-shirts, because she knew it was a lower cost of entry to get into the business. And then it just ended up really taking off for her. And so she was in the business and then she sold it. Might have been a year, 2 years ago, 2 years ago or so. And she sold it. Now she's into coaching and she's coaching other people how to do what she was doing and to coaching other people on Facebook ads. But I think that was a really great episode because it was great to hear about her journey with the e-com brand with during COVID when the shipping costs went up and when Facebook ads started to change. She went into that. She went into some of the, you know, not so great parts of business that happen. And I thought it was cool to see that as well.
What's another interview that you had on your show that brought you value or you thought was really, really good or interesting?
Yeah, it's always a hard question to ask because you're going through the 200 show titles in your head and thinking which one. Let me think. One that I love so many different things about episodes, but one that's coming to my head right now is I interviewed Hannah Williams from Salary Transparency Street. And what she does is she does these TikTok videos where she goes up to random people, asks them, how much money do you make? What do you do? How long have you been doing it? Do you feel like you're well compensated for it? And these videos went viral overnight. And she actually ended up quitting her job. Now she has this, she makes 7 figures off of sponsorships with her brand. And it's been really cool to see that. And I had her on the podcast and I asked her about like these videos and like what holds people back from like creating content and what tips she has for people who want to create content but aren't creating content yet. And I just went into her story about like negotiating salary, about job hopping, all that. And I found that really insightful to go into all those things.
That's pretty cool. And then you said you sometimes do solos. So most of the episodes, if I'm understanding correctly, it's going to be an interview. It's where you're going to have somebody cool where you can make those connections. And the original goal of the podcast was, hey, I want to meet people that I couldn't meet if I didn't have a podcast. And so I'm going to benefit by having great conversations with people because I've got a platform for them. And you've done some solo episodes, which in a way, it goes against that. Although I'm a huge fan of solo episodes. So I want to hear, though, your thought on the solo episodes, when you've done them, why you've done them, and what you thought of them.
So I'm going to be honest, I've only done about three. So not that many.
Out of 203, 200 were interviews. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So only like three. And the reason why was those were just different topics. I was like, oh, I feel like I could talk for like 20 minutes about this topic. Might as well do like a solo episode. So it doesn't happen that often.
What were those about?
One of them was about money mindset. One of them was about getting furloughed. And I think one of them was about accepting less than what you want in relationships.
Okay. Tell us about that one, the accepting less than you want in relationships, because I think we all do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're bringing me back to an ex-boyfriend that sparked this whole episode. But what happened with him is I realized it took me 13 months to realize this, what I really could have realized in 3 months. And I feel like we do this with so many different things. We could do this with podcasts. We could do this with relationships. And we kind of have an idea towards the beginning of something that could be an issue later on, but we kind of want to give it time when really we shouldn't give it time. So for example, with him, he was so busy. He didn't make me a priority. All these issues with him, with communication. And I knew that was going to be an issue from the beginning, but I was like, let's just give it like 2 more months. Let's give it 5 more months. Let's give it 6 more months. Before you know it, it's 13 months and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't change this person. So I think in my mind, I thought I could change him. And I thought you can go and change and mold, and what a great like project that will be. And it would be so great to have the outcome. And you get so attached to the outcome, but that you don't realize that you can't change people and that you have to just accept them where they are. And if they're not where you want them to be, they're probably not a good fit for you. So I had to realize that. And I think why we accept less than we deserve is because we believe that we're worthy of less. So then we accept it. So somewhere in our childhood, somewhere in our past, we were told we're worthy of less and we still think it's true. And whether we admit it to ourselves or not, somewhere in our subconscious, we think it's true. So we go and we accept someone who's a reflection of that. And then later on, we wonder why we have such a hard time letting go of that person. And it's really because of that belief system that's there, that's keeping you attached to having that story and that story reflected back to you.
And last question on this, if ex-boyfriend listened to that episode about him, how would he feel? Would he be like mad at you, or what would happen if he listened to it?
I doubt he will ever listen to it or ever see it, which is great. But I think I did it in a respectful way. I didn't really put too much about him or like what he did. I kind of made it more about like just why we do certain things and like being honest with ourselves and being honest, is this really the relationship I want or not? And being honest why we're accepting it.
I want to find out what your 3-year plan is, but we'll do a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links, just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Sophia Lorena, and she's given a shit ton of value about her shit show of the 20s. She's given a lot of value today, like really tangible things, including apps to AI that could help you make things easier, including having a direction of your podcast, as well as offloading the editing, but maybe trying it so you at least have an understanding of where that is. Also understanding that like in the very beginning of your podcast, you might embarrass yourself and it's okay. She asked herself a question that I think you should be asking yourself. How can I do this, meaning having my podcast, for the long run? Like, how can I do this for 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, and consider that prior to getting started, because if editing isn't your thing, then maybe you need to offload that so you don't get overwhelmed. She taught us about reaching out to bigger guests, and some of them will be an easy yes. She talked about the AI that helped her get 12 one-minute clips by a push of a button. She talked about how putting the burden of content on your guest can benefit you so that you can jump in a little bit sooner, because you're just interviewing, you're just asking that person. So she says she's using her guests. It sounds bad. I'm using my guests, but basically she's relying on them for the content. And as well, create a good environment, get the ball rolling, have a strategy, batch recording. She mentioned Facebook groups. Also, I think it was Podmatch. And then there was another one that was something.fm. What was it called?
Matchmaker.fm.
And then how you stalk, STALK, hashtags on Instagram to be able to find good people to come onto your podcast. When I asked her if, you know, this is costing you time and money, why are you still doing it? It's because she said the goal of the podcast in the beginning was to have the great conversations. And is she still having those great conversations? Yes. And she says that it's like a very inexpensive way to have a great conversation with somebody you otherwise couldn't have. We talked about solo episodes, and one of the funny ones was that 13-month long where she could have figured it out in 3 months because she was trying to change that person. And that resonates with me. I've been there before, that's for sure. Once it took me 6+ years. I thought that this woman would like eventually come around, but no, she never wanted to get married. And so I spent the 6 years, and I want to say it in a respectful way in case she listens as well, but I thought that it could change. And so I thought that was interesting. Now I'm going to ask Sophia Lorena from The Shit Show of My 20s podcast. You've been doing this for 3.5 years. What's your goal over the next three and a half years?
Yeah. So over the next 3 years, I would like to become more consistent on pitching people. And what I mean by that is I'll have like one day where I'll pitch like 10 people. And then all of a sudden I'll wait a couple of weeks because then I have all those episodes done. And then I just have too many episodes. And then like months later, I start pitching people again. So I want to get into more of like a rhythm with how I'm pitching people, who I'm pitching, more of like a template, more of a system there. And then I would say also do more video content than I'm doing now and more Instagram. I definitely see myself doing more of that, more episodes. I would love to have some people that are like super high level who I think currently right now I can't get. I would love to have
you never
people.
Know, Sophia. If you haven't asked, you don't know.
Exactly. So I want to take my advice on some of those people and go and get them on the podcast within the next 3 years.
Awesome. Good stuff. So if you're listening and you are, Sophia's social media that she wants you to connect with her on, that's already in the show notes. So you can connect with Sophia from The Shit Show of My 20s, or go and listen to the podcast, already over 200. Oh, it's 208 episodes. I said 203 earlier. 208 so far and building. Then everything is just down in the show notes. The next episode is going to be another interview episode. I'll see you there. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.